And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today. Kino back, and it's great to be in your company again. And I thought, you know what? Let's ease the year in with the experience that you and I might have been having right here on our very own doorstep. Talking tourism. But I'm not going to be that niched. I'm not only going to be talking about your particular experience, and you're welcome to call in and talk about how you've experienced your own city. But this morning, what I'd like to do is look at those numbers that have appeared in some of our newspapers as it relates to tourism. The city talking about double-digit growth. Now, you know, when you focus on investment and tourism growth, it has a direct link to the economy as it creates more jobs and more opportunities, especially those economic opportunities. Now, over the past few years, general tourism figures have taken a bit of a dive, and we can certainly point to the drought. We can point to home affairs as, you know, two of the, I think, key problems that led to that. But what lies behind this double-digit growth that James Foss, the alderman, and his team have been talking about? I mean, can we take those numbers seriously? What are the objective facts, behind those? And joining you this morning to discuss that, Alderman James Foss, the Mayoral Committee Member for Economic Opportunities and Asset Management in the City of Cape Town. James, let me first start off by saying a Happy New Year to you, man.
Thank you very much, Kino, and Happy New Year to you and to all the Cape Talk listeners. Lots of happiness and health. Yep. That is what we need in Cape Town.
Yeah, we need happiness, we need health, and we need tourists. Now, you guys were talking about double-digit growth, and one of the independent papers, I think they were reporting last week sometime, that they received a lot of messages from people saying, yeah, what's this double-digit growth that James Foss is talking about? We can't feel it. And we're going to get to that question. I first want to start off and talk about the role that tourism plays in the city of Cape Town, and also as it relates to the Western Cape on the whole. What are the numbers that speak to the importance of tourism?
Absolutely. So, thanks, Kino. The tourism impact on the city's economy is massive. The city has over 1.2 million international visitors annually, spending approximately 15 billion rand, and creating over 300,000 jobs in the city of Cape Town and in the Western Cape, adding over 7.5% to the city's total GDP. And so therefore the spending certainly helps significantly to fund ongoing projects being implemented across the city, contributing to the long-term efforts in ensuring that the city's sustainability as a destination has obviously longevity, but also for us to make sure that we develop and grow the business ecosystem on the back of tourism growth. And so therefore these increases in tourism arrivals are certainly most welcome because they come from our key source markets. And it helps us also to understand how do we get to the point of conversion, because marketing is an important part of the city's objective, so that we market our city as a globally connected city with all these new direct flights. Also the way that we transact with other cities in terms of shared marketing platforms. For example, the city of New York. 3 weeks ago, we signed an agreement with the municipality of Dubai. So it's important that we connect Cape Town with these global key source markets. But at the end of the day, marketing needs to turn into conversion. Actual sales, in other words, bums on seats coming to our city as a result of the marketing.
Yeah.
And then the second part, Kino, is destination management in terms of how do we manage our tourism landscape in terms of taking tourism to all corners of the city. So that becomes a whole new plan for this coming year, because I've developed last year with the tourism sector a new tourism development plan that will really transform the landscape so that we go beyond the big six and that we develop many more tourism products in areas that were previously marginalized or not on the main routes. So there's a massive money spin-off in terms of benefits for local communities, but we need to get it right. We mustn't create false expectations that if we develop tourism products in your neighborhood, all of a sudden there's going to be new businesses and new jobs. We have to put tourism products in places where there's tourism potential and where there's a real understanding of the benefit, so that you have a whole of community pulling together. And I like to use the Khayelitsha curated routes as an example, where we've gone into Khayelitsha, we've hosted several community workshops, and today you've got places like Forum Dikazi, Siki's Coffee Shop. You've got some wonderful tour guides doing some amazing work in Khayelitsha, because they've really developed a sense of purpose, so that all the places in that part of Khayelitsha, in close proximity to the Lukatiel, that they feel the benefit. So, yeah, that is basically the plan for this coming year, to transform the landscape into a thriving business ecosystem, so that I don't get to brag about numbers, but that we actually get to see the benefit in communities.
This, to me, is the big point, right? Because you guys can stand up and you can tell us you're getting double-digit growth, and, yes, we can get people phoning in going, hey, man, we're not experiencing it. As a matter of fact, this has probably been one of the worst years that we have. And I want to go back to that double-digit growth that you're talking about. I mean, if one just looks at the B&Bs, for example, complaining that Airbnb's taken away a lot of their market share, so they're struggling on that side. So it's not as simple as saying, hey man, yes, we've got forward bookings, we've got people coming in. There are also market dynamics internally that you need to be cognizant of, and that I know you are cognizant of, and it's a very delicate balancing act. So, key source markets, double-digit growth, give us the facts behind it, though. People saying they're not feeling it. Is this forward booking we're talking about? What exactly are we talking about when we mention this double-digit growth?
Okay. Thank you for that question, Kino, because this is certainly the important part of it, because talking about the numbers is one important element, so that we can build confidence in Cape Town as a tourism destination, but the actual benefit, going into the detail of it.
Yeah.
And so the forward bookings growth we have forecasted is from global airline booking system called Forward Keys, based on actual sales of airline tickets from various source markets globally. And I quickly just want to share with you those three impressive key source markets. So it's 50,000 new travelers to arrive from the UK over the period December to March, demonstrating an increase of over 30% when compared to the same period last year. Mm-hmm. And from Germany, it shows a 20% increase, and the USA 11%. So these are the forward bookings that we receive from actual airline ticket sales. And so Forward Keys is showing an increase in confirmed bookings from those key source markets, which is growth year on year, which is very encouraging. And the reason for a possible decline in numbers experienced by operators need to be seen in context. International tourists, high season is from February until April. And so the early signs as per the forward bookings is therefore very encouraging, because tourism volumes are mostly from domestic market, while international tourists are not volume driven but high spend and longer stay driven, which translates into greater revenue. And so it should be noted that there are some operators in the supply side of the market, as tourism has low barriers to entry, which encourages entrepreneurs to access this tourism market easily. And so we have also seen an increase in visiting friends and relatives this time of the year for Christmas. And they traditionally don't go on tours, and at times don't visit the bigger attractions. And so we are monitoring the industry performance with Cape Town Tourism, the city's tourism destination marketing agency, to determine the actuals versus the forecast. But we also need to be mindful that tourism season is just kicking off, and it's still early days. And so for the domestic market, we are also pushing the pocket-friendly guide, especially due to tough economic conditions, so that everyone can access the tourism on their doorstep without breaking the bank. Mm. And so therefore, we have developed 50 things to do for under 50 Rand, which provides visitors and locals with tips on interesting things to do and places to see without spending a fortune. And you can find more information on www.capetown.travel.
Okay. Finish what you were saying.
So that's basically on the domestic side of it. And the other reason for growth in numbers from the UK include the upcoming cricket test between South Africa and England at Newlands from the 3rd of Jan.
Yep.
So there's a lot of factors that you need to take into consideration. But for me, the important thing is actual sales, that I know that our investment in marketing is paying off.
Yeah.
Because we are putting a lot of money into marketing, because you have to compete globally, and I have to push Cape Town into these new markets and into our existing markets, like Dubai, for example. Coming back from Dubai with the mayor on a trade mission 2-3 weeks ago was a very important city-to-city agreement signing that relationship with Dubai, so that we can push more visitors coming from Dubai, because they are sport for choices. They can go anywhere in the world because of their connectivity. So it's important that we build those connections, but marketing needs to turn into conversion.
Now, marketing also needs to be based on the facts on the ground. So what is our core value offering here? Is it still the top six? Is that still what drives people wanting to, especially people internationally, wanting to visit Cape Town?
So there's never been a better time to invest in Cape Town in terms of travel and trade as now, because we've certainly done everything possible to make sure that we put Cape Town in terms of its tourism value proposition on the global map. So aviation is an important aspect to that. So Air Access, which is a joint collaboration between private sector and government, has been doing wonderful work to connect our city with major cities around the world. Now we need to go into those cities and actually get Cape Town as a preferred destination. So it's for that reason that we are signing tourism agreements with local tour operators and tourism agencies in those cities to actually get to the point of conversion. We've also signed a 3-year deal with Cape Town Tourism on a service level agreement, which will focus on tourism marketing, tourism management, and also tourism visitor information services, so that we manage our tourism ecosystem in Cape Town on world standards, and they are certainly delivering on that for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to get into specifics, James. Okay. I mean, you're very generic when I'm listening to you, and it's great. I mean, and the city's doing good stuff as far as this is concerned. But I mean, my question to you was, what are the key drivers to bring people here? I mean, other than Air Access, Air Access is a vehicle to get people into the city. But why is it that people want to come here? In terms of our innovation, in terms of our actual product offering, what are the core drivers was my question.
Yes. So the uniqueness about Cape Town's selling point, we are certainly one of those destinations that can offer anything and everything to a global traveler, from cuisine to culture to heritage to adventure to community to luxury. Those are the important segments that we are focusing on, because in tourism, you need to make sure that you focus on those markets if you want to be globally competitive. And so for that reason, we've developed for each one of those segments specific strategies focusing on adventure. So on adventure tourism, we've worked with all of the adventure tourism service providers in developing a marketing strategy and also a destination management strategy so that we can sell Cape Town as an adventure destination. The same applies to luxury. That is a market that has been untapped for a long time. And now we've certainly developed many luxury strategies where we're selling Cape Town as a very high-end destination. And again, specific detail and strategies around that segment has been developed, and we are seeing some massive return on investment. The same for community. Your global traveler wants to come to a city that can offer you authentic and genuine experiences. And again, developing the curated routes in neighborhoods that has been off the main routes is the key thing, because travelers want to go into those neighborhoods and experience the cuisine and the culture. And so the curated routes is an important part of that. So we call that the community segment. Under culture, also a very important one, because that's where we're building a Muslim-friendly destination, because culture and customs are very important for global travelers. You need to pay attention to that and not take it for granted. And so we're working with industry in developing strategies that will pay tribute and respect to customs and traditions of that global traveler. And so those are the different segments that we can offer that very few cities around the world can. So Cape Town is a melting pot of cuisine, color, and culture. We can offer luxury, community, adventure, leisure, and business to all of the different markets. So for each one of those, we have specific strategies, because in tourism, you can't be everything to everyone. You must have a specific focus on that market and go and sell your city accordingly and develop strategies that will work. And again, marketing needs to speak to the actual things happening on the ground. You can't have a disappointed traveler. Yeah?
I mean, you should surely have an overarching strategy, right, as a city, saying this is where we're playing. This is how we differentiate ourselves from the countries against which we benchmark ourselves, and then create strategic plans in the subsets to say, in order to achieve this overarching strategy as a city, I mean, I listen to some of what you're saying, but there are lots of countries that we benchmark ourselves against that have a lot of what you're talking about. My question to you is, where does the differentiation come in? Where do we say, if you come here, that same experience of the beach, etc., will be phenomenally different because of X, Y, and Z? And I'm digging down into that part of it. You know, are we differentiating ourselves sufficiently?
Absolutely. I mean, we do, because if you look at our marketing compared to other cities, we speak specifically to those segments of the travel and tourism landscape. Because, global travelers are looking for specific things to do and experience.
Right.
And so our marketing is very much geared towards those different segments that I've highlighted. So that we can go into these tourism agreements and market our city in those key source markets and elsewhere to make sure that we entice and excite travelers to come to Cape Town because of our world-class infrastructure, our connectivity, our authenticity, just the fact that Cape Town is genuine in terms of its value proposition. And I fully get your question because it is a very competitive space. Tourism, if you like the water shortage of 2 years ago, certainly dropped our ranking on the world order. And so we had to go and aggressively counter that message. Sure. And so most of our energy went into saying that we are a sustainable destination. We have what it takes to compete with the big giants around the world. And so slowly but surely we've seen increases again because people can quickly select another destination and your outbound tour operators and agencies around the world. So it's building connections with those outbound tour operators. And that's why our team is constantly on the lookout to grow the depth and the diversity of Cape Town tourism value proposition so that we can compete with the big tourism destinations, but that we can also stand on our own in terms of our uniqueness. And therefore, you know, if you look at the conferencing and events segment, we are the number one events city on the continent. And so on that one, we've developed specific strategies around getting more value out of events for the city so that it's not simply people coming in, attending a conference and flying out, but that they come and spend two things in your destination for much longer, time and money. And so that's where we are different from other destinations, where we've implemented a delegate boosting program. So when these big conferences happen in our city, and we are very, very fortunate, we are pulling in amazing numbers in terms of conferences for the next 2 years that have been booked for our conference venues across the city. So it's, yes, hotels are benefiting, but I would like to see much more time and money being spent by conference delegates in our city. And so that delegate boosting program has made a major difference in terms of getting people to spend much more time in our destination post and pre the conference. Also on events, the way that we bid for events, is absolutely marvelous in terms of how we as a city pull all of our resources together and we pull off some of the best events in the world.
There we go. James Foss there. And I don't know, from a tourism point of view, do you think, I mean, they talk about the strategies, there should be one strategy that underpins what happens in different sectors within tourism in Cape Town. This whole issue of Airbnbs.